An experienced native title lawyer says he's often surprised by just how difficult and slow the process is for traditional owners to reclaim their land. Cairns-based lawyer Michael Neal has been working on land rights for Australian Indigenous groups for over 20 years, in fact, since the 1980s. He and his firm have been recognised by a prestigious international publication as being among the best in Australia. And I caught up with Michael a little earlier today to hear more about his work and the challenges, the frustrations and rewards that he gets from it.
Importantly, native title is recognition by a court, not by politicians, of the laws and customs, probably going back so many centuries I can't properly comprehend it, but going back many thousands of years, of the Indigenous people of Australia, both Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders.
And the rights that they have had this whole time?
And the rights they've had for many thousands of years to the land and the responsibilities that flow with those rights.
Mm. But rights that weren't officially recognised until much, much later.
Well, the rights were recognised by the High Court in 1992, so some 200 plus years after Europeans settled in the country. And something that I still can't quite properly comprehend, the court recognised that the Australian law recognises and has always recognised those laws. So it wasn't something new, it was just a recognition of something that's been around for thousands of years and from all of the time that we Europeans have been here.
What was startling about that for you?
The fact there's been so much of a delay. There was 200 years plus of delay when native title is now seen as having been in existence, but simply ignored. And there was a concept of terra nullius that came and then was disposed of.
If native title exists and always has, why do various Indigenous groups around the country struggle for so long to get their native title claims heard and seen to?
The process requires the native title groups to demonstrate that they are a society with rules of behaviour, social norms, based on the traditional laws and customs of the group. They have to gather evidence that is at a sufficient level to satisfy the court. That takes time.
That's a process, isn't it?
It is a long and difficult process, particularly for groups that are often under-resourced and in a very unfamiliar environment of the federal court.
You have been quoted as saying it's incredibly rewarding and challenging working in native title law, but also sometimes frustrating. Why is that?
It is frustrating because it's so slow. The imbalance of resources for various parties, state and federal governments, large corporations are often well-resourced and Aboriginal groups are often very poorly resourced or not resourced at all. Sometimes they're well-resourced. And the process is reasonably alien to a lot of, well, to most groups of Indigenous people.
You obviously work with a lot of Indigenous people. Do you get a grasp, do you feel like we, as a society, get a proper grasp for what we have in Australia?
I don't think I or most Australians fully appreciate that Aboriginal and Islander culture is, or cultures are, the oldest living culture in the world. I was fortunate to go to France a few years ago and see some cave paintings which were dated something under 10,000 years ago in our backyard in far north Queensland. We have places such as at Condobrinca Station, the mountain that's been dated back to 45,000 years, where there's been evidence of Aboriginal occupation and use of the land for 45,000 years, which is as long as carbon dating will allow.
Wow.
Reliable dating. So,
yeah, if this was in France, you would have a well-trodden tourism path straight to that place, you would imagine.
Yes, I look forward to the day when tourist operators and Aboriginal communities work closely together so that there's the ability of Aboriginal people to demonstrate their culture to international tourists at a level and in a manner that the Aboriginal community is comfortable with.
Hmm.
And I really look forward to that.
How does that factor into your work when it comes to dealing with companies or groups that want to negotiate with native title holders for something that is on their land, like a mineral resource?
In dealing with particularly mining companies, most of my clients want to minimise the negative impacts on their culture and on their land and waters. Once that's addressed, and I should say that often the standards sought by the Aboriginal communities are higher than those of, say, a state government. They're more passionate about the protection of land than someone in remote Brisbane. And once the negatives are dealt with, then my clients usually want to have agreements that allow stimulation of their community and the economy of their community, so that, for example, there are lots of clauses to promote employment and training, so that there are jobs in the community and there can be a general strengthening of the community with the multiplier effect of the money that is earned from a full-time job that stays in the community.
Is there one example of an Indigenous land use agreement or a mining agreement that you've worked on over the years that you're just really proud of, you think it's worked?
Probably the easiest one to refer to, including because that it's not a confidential agreement for the most part, is the Kimberley Argyle diamond mine, where there is a lot of time and effort put into consultation to make sure that the five Aboriginal groups concerned had the same ideas about what they wanted in the agreement and what they wanted out of the agreement. And employment and training was a major factor, together with very strong cultural heritage protection and opportunities for setting up their own businesses.
Can it be difficulties in getting a consensus across different groups?
We're dealing with human beings in a society, so...
that's right.
Aboriginal people are the same as everybody else.
You mentioned the Kimberley example. You're working with groups in Far North Queensland at the present, and you have in the past. Do you feel like we're getting better and better at doing this in Australia?
It's a very slow process. Well, the short answer is yes, we are.
But slowly.
But very slowly, and there's only so far that something like a mining agreement can do to assist to promote a community. It's not going to solve all problems.
No, there's much, much bigger issues at play as well. Does that get frustrating for you as well, because there's only so much that you can do here?
I have to recognise my role. I'm a lawyer representing a group of clients, and I certainly have to make sure that I don't overstep the mark.
Is that hard? Do you find sometimes you get emotionally invested in some of these cases?
Absolutely, yes. And requires the sort of discipline that that most of us have to
exercise. Are there examples around the world where you think that other countries do it slightly better than us that we could aspire to?
There are plenty of examples in Canada where there's a slightly different legal regime. Instead of there being something like a Native Title Act, treaties have been negotiated between groups and the government, and there are a number of good examples of particularly mining agreements between large mining companies and Indigenous groups. Well, they're good models to aspire to. There's been some groundbreaking work that appears to work in Canada that can be applied here.
I won't let you go, Michael Neil, without mentioning that your law firm received some pretty important recognition, or some nice recognition anyway, from Chambers. What's that?
Well, that's an international organisation that ranks legal firms around the world, and it's independent, and yeah, we got some recognition.
And it's the second year, isn't it, that it's happened?
It is. The thing that I'd like to, I suppose, boast about, hopefully on behalf of the community, not just ourselves, is that there are some 100-something lawyers listed in Queensland that were recognised, and only one of them was not based in Brisbane, and it was our firm. I suppose the thing I'd like to see is that many more local, regional firms and people are recognised because there's such good talent in Cairns and the Far North Queensland.
That's Michael Neil from P&E Law.